Welcome to English Through History. If you enjoy the content, please subscribe, leave a comment or a review. Your feedback and support is greatly appreciated by our small team here, and it really helps us to create more content. We hope you enjoy today's episode. If you're of a certain age, you will have lived through or even been aware of the Cold War geopolitics of the last century. Superpowers such as the Soviet Union and the US dominated throughout the period. However, there was another powerful global player during that time, Yugoslavia. This country was entirely unique in that it straddled both sides of the ideological spectrum, combining both socialist and a small amount of capitalist philosophies, authoritarian and yet allowing certain freedoms. It represented another way of governing. In today's episode, we will be talking about how this country came to be, life under this unusual regime, and the eventual and remarkably destructive collapse. Yugoslavia itself was a country in Southeast Europe that existed in various forms from 1918 to 2003. The countries that formed Yugoslavia and subsequently emerged from its dissolution are Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, Macedonia, now North Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, and Slovenia. The history of the region prior to becoming Yugoslavia is, to be honest, incredibly complex, with multiple empires controlling part or all of the region. The earliest known inhabitants of the Western Balkans were Illyrian and Thracian tribes. Part of the region were influenced by Greek colonization, particularly along the Adriatic coast. Later, the Romans conquered and incorporated the area into the Roman Empire, creating various provinces such as Dalmatia. In the 6th and the 7th centuries, Slavic tribes migrated into the Balkans, blending with the local populations and forming the basis for the modern South Slavic nations. During the Middle Ages, much of the region was under Byzantine control at various times, particularly the coastal and southern parts. Several early medieval Slavic states emerged, including the Serbian principalities, the Croatian kingdom, and the Bulgarian Empire. These states often interacted with and were influenced by the Byzantine Empire. Northern parts of the region, especially Croatia and Slovenia, came under the influence or control of the Hungarian kingdom. Starting in the late 14th and early 15th centuries, the Ottoman Empire began to expand into the Balkans, eventually conquering much of the region. Serbia fell to the Ottomans in the late 14th century, Bosnia in the mid 15th century, and Montenegro by the late 15th century. The Ottoman rule lasted for several centuries, leaving a significant cultural and religious imprint, particularly through the spread of Islam. In the north and west, parts of the region were under the control of the Habsburg monarchy, including Croatia, Slovenia, and parts of northern Serbia. The Habsburgs provided a counterbalance to the Ottoman influence and controlled these areas through the Kingdom of Hungary. In the 19th century, a sense of national identity began to grow among the South Slavic peoples. Serbia and Montenegro achieved independence from the Ottoman Empire in the early 19th century, while movements in Croatia and Slovenia sought greater autonomy within the Habsburg monarchy. Following the Austro-Hungarian Compromise of 1867, Croatia and Slovenia were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, while Bosnia and Herzegovina were occupied and later annexed by Austria-Hungary in 1908. The early 20th century saw further conflicts in the region, including the Balkan Wars, which were from 1912 to 1913, which led to the decline of Ottoman influence and territorial expansion of Serbia Montenegro, and Greece. Yugoslavia was a federated country, which meant that it was a territorial and constitutional community that forms a federation. This is an important distinction, as it means that there is a division of power between all member states and under a single political entity, and it was primarily a socialist state. So, how and why did the federated country of Yugoslavia come to be? The assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria in Sarajevo in 1914 sparked World War I. During the war, various South Slavic groups sought to create a unified state. After the war, the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes was established in 1918, later renamed the Kingdom of Yugoslavia in 1929. This new state aimed to unite the South Slavic peoples under a single political entity, setting the stage for the later history of Yugoslavia. Yet, of course, a kingdom needs a king. In this case, it was King Alexander I. He was a controversial figure who attempted to rule by royal dictatorship until his assassination in 1934, in which his son then tried to continue his reign. The turning point came with the advent of World War II. In April 1941, Axis powers invaded and dismembered Yugoslavia. The country was occupied by Germany, Italy, Hungary, and Bulgaria, and a puppet state, the independent state of Croatia, was established. Two main resistant groups emerged: the Royalist Chetniks and the Communist Partisans led by Josip Broz Tito. The partisans eventually gained the upper hand and were recognized by the Allies. After World War II, Yugoslavia was reconstituted as a socialist federation under Tito's leadership. Tito maintained a federal structure to manage ethnic diversity and pursued a policy of non-alignment during the Cold War, maintaining independence from both the Soviet Union and the Western Bloc. Yugoslavia developed a unique socialist system with self-management in factories and significant decentralization. The country experienced economic growth and relative stability during Tito's rule. Life in Yugoslavia was unlike anywhere else at the time. Life under Tito was characterized by a mix of relative economic prosperity, political stability, and unique social policies, but also by repression of political dissent and strict control by the state. Tito maintained tight control over the country, suppressing political dissent and opposition. The secret police, or the UDBA, were notorious for their surveillance and persecution of dissidents. Yugoslavia pursued a policy of non-alignment during the Cold War, distancing itself from both the Soviet Union and the Western Bloc. This allowed for a unique foreign policy stance and received economic aid from both sides. As mentioned previously, the country was organized as a federation of several republics and two autonomous provinces, with Tito balancing ethnic tensions through a decentralized government model. Tito implemented a form of market socialism known as self-management, where workers' councils ran factories and businesses. This system aimed to increase productivity and worker satisfaction. The 1950s and 1960s saw significant economic growth and industrialization, making Yugoslavia one of the more prosperous socialist countries. There was a notable increase in living standards during this period. In fact, as the availability of consumer goods improved, Yugoslavia became a popular tourist destination, especially along the Adriatic coast. The state provided universal health care and education, leading to improvements in literacy rates and overall health. Urbanization increased, with many moving from rural areas to cities. The state invested in public housing, though housing shortages were common. While political expression was restricted, cultural expression flourished within certain limits. Yugoslavia experienced a vibrant cultural scene, including film, music, and literature. Tito promoted the concept of brotherhood and unity among the different ethnic groups to foster a Yugoslav identity over individual national identities. This led to a suppression of nationalist sentiments to maintain stability. Ethnic tensions were managed, but not entirely resolved, simmering beneath the surface. Unlike in the Eastern Bloc, Yugoslavs had the freedom to travel abroad, and many worked as guest workers in Western Europe, sending remittances back home. Many Yugoslavs remember Tito's era fondly for its relative stability, prosperity, and international standing. The country was seen as a successful model of a multi-ethnic socialist state. There was a relatively high standard of living compared to other Eastern European countries. Yugoslavs had access to Western products and media, leading to a more open and cosmopolitan society. However, despite relative economic freedoms, political freedoms were limited. Political prisoners, censorship, and suppression of opposition were common. Multiple things happened that led to the eventual dissolution of Yugoslavia. More importantly, Tito died in 1980, leading to a power vacuum and rising ethnic tensions. The 1980s were marked by economic decline, high debt, and rising unemployment, exacerbating ethnic and political tensions. Nationalist leaders like Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia gained prominence, advocating for greater power in their respective republics. The collapse of communism in Eastern Europe in the late 1980s and early 1990s further destabilized Yugoslavia. Finally, Slovenia and Croatia declared independence in 1991, followed by Macedonia and Bosnia and Herzegovina. This led to a series of violent conflicts, particularly in Croatia and Bosnia, and these are called the Yugoslav Wars. A brief summary of these wars are as follows. There was a brief 10-day war in Slovenia that resulted in its independence with relatively few casualties. The war in Croatia was more prolonged and brutal, with significant destruction and loss of life. The Bosnian War was the most devastating, characterized by ethnic cleansing, genocide, and extensive international intervention. The war lasted from 1992 to 1995, ending with the Dayton Agreement. The conflict in Kosovo in the late 1990s led to NATO intervention in 1999, and eventually to Kosovo's declaration of independence in 2008 from Serbia, although this has resulted in geopolitical tensions even in modern times. And that concludes our episode today. Thanks for your continuing support, and we look forward to releasing a new episode next week.